This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. In commemoration of the 20th anniversary of Taxi Driver, the film was re-released today. It's been restored from the original camera negative with a Dolby Stereo soundtrack. On this archive edition, we'll hear from screenwriter Paul Schrader and actor Harvey Keitel. 20 years ago, Pauline Kael described Taxi Driver as a raw tabloid version of Dostoevsky's Notes from the Underground. Today, critic Janet Maslin described Taxi Driver as a prophetic masterpiece of the 70s, articulating troubles that have not diminished with time, the debasement of politics, the pernicious influence of pornography, racism, drugs, junk food, and violence, the loner's inability to connect with society. Taxi Driver was the first collaboration between director Martin Scorsese and screenwriter Paul Schrader. It starred Robert De Niro as a lonely and lost soul turned assassin. Driving a taxi just heightens his alienation. His passengers act on their basest instincts and take him to the sleaziest parts of the city. We start with a 1988 interview with screenwriter Paul Schrader.
May 10th. Thank God for the rain, which has helped wash away the garbage and the trash off the sidewalks. I'm working long hours now, 6 days a week, sometimes 7 days a week. It's a long hustle, but it keeps me real busy. I can take in $350 a week, sometimes even more when I do it off the meter. All the animals come out at night. Buggers, queens, fairies, dopers, junkies, sick, venal. Someday a real rain will come and wash all this scum off the streets. I go all over. I take people to the Bronx, Brooklyn. I take them to Harlem. I don't care. Don't make no difference to me. It does to some. Some won't even take spooks. Don't make no difference to me. Each night when I return the cab to the garage, I have to clean the back seat. Some nights I clean off the blood. 12 hours of work and I still can't sleep. Damn. Days go on and on. They don't end. All my life needed was a sense of someplace to go. I don't believe that one should devote his life to morbid self-attention. I believe that someone should become a person like other people.
The tone of writing in that seems so perfect for the character.
I love that line. I do not believe that one should devote his life to morbid self-attention, which, of course, is what this character does.
Oh, precisely.
Every moment of the day.
How did you know, not being a psychopath yourself, how did you know the tone of voice to get for this? It just seems just right.
Well, I wrote that script in 10 days, in two drafts. It jumped out of my head like an animal. And so... it was a really cri de coeur. It was a cry from my heart. I've fallen into a difficult period in Los Angeles where I was living in my car and just sort of driving around, and having a lot of trouble sleeping. And finally, I got a pain in my stomach, which turned out to be an ulcer. And I went in the hospital, and then while I was talking to a nurse in emergency, I realized I hadn't spoken to anyone in several weeks. And when I was in the hospital, I realized that that's what I was. I was like a taxi driver. I was like this person who was floating around in this car. And I got out of the hospital, and I wrote that script, like I said, in 10 days.
Let's get back to the tone that you actually wrote it in. There's something almost Old Testament about the tone. Someday a real rain will come along and wash all the scum off the streets. But that's that apocalyptic sense.
Yeah, I really, you know, that was my first real script. I'd done one thing before. And I didn't know how you were supposed to write scripts yet.
Did it scare you that you were able to so authentically and so intuitively capture a psychopathic voice?
Well, you know, it scared me that I was at that place at that time. I mean, the person who wrote that script is long gone, and I don't even know if I would recognize him if I saw him.
What was your reaction when Hinckley said that he was he had seen Taxi Driver and he wanted to impress Jodie Foster by attempting to assassinate the president.
I was in New Orleans at the time scouting locations, and it came over the radio that this kid had tried to kill Reagan. And he was from Colorado, sort of a white bread kid. And I said to the person sitting next to me, I said, it's one of those Taxi Driver kids. And I got back to the hotel, and the FBI was waiting for me. And in fact, it was one of those Taxi Driver kids. The film didn't create them. They exist before the film and after the film. And they attach themselves to many things. It's just actually sort of rare that they attach themselves to a good film. More likely they attach themselves to things like advertising.
Mm-hmm. You said that you are no longer the same person who wrote Taxi Driver, that you don't really have those feelings anymore. At that time, I think you were really motivated by certain demons, by alienation, by loneliness. You're now married, you're a father, and I figured loneliness wouldn't have the same pull on you that it did then. Are there different things that motivate you now in your writing, or even different demons that drive you?
Yes, certainly. And you miss those old demons, because those are powerful engines and they really drive you hard. It was actually easier to write then because you had no choice. You were just running to keep the demons from swallowing you up. So today it's a little more difficult. You have to use your imaginative powers and your creative skills to a greater degree.
Filmmaker Paul Schrader is my guest. Now, there used to be a ban in your church against seeing movies. Does that ban still exist?
No. I think that they have made that a matter of individual conscience now. It banned what they called worldly amusements, which included things like card playing and smoking and drinking and dancing and theater attendance. And this came out of Prohibition days. The ban was actually instituted in 1928. And, I once, as a child rather, impassionately queried my mother about this. I think I wanted to see some Disney film. And she said to me, it doesn't matter. The quality of the film doesn't matter. It's the industry that is evil. And so I think that was the position.
Did you have a sense of what you were missing?
No, and I'm actually very happy about having missed all those.
No, really? Come on.
Well, yeah, because really? Because you are imprinted as an artist or as a person by how you come to a specific field, and I came to films as a college student, and the first films I really saw or paid serious attention to were films by Bergman or Buñuel, Antonioni, Bresson. And that was my original imprinting in films. And my peers and Coevals, were imprinted with Westerns and Disney films. And when they say, I want to make the movies that I loved when I was a child, they think about those films. And when I say that, I don't think about those films. I think about the kind of childhood background and about the films I first came to love. I came to films as an adult and then later learned to love them as a child. So it has given me a unique perspective and a unique place in this business. And I've never really worried about anyone doing what I'm doing because no one has my perspective.
What's the first film you saw and what effect did it have on you?
Well, actually, the first film was a Disney film. Was Absent-Minded Professor. And I snuck...
Is that the one with Jerry Lewis, or is that the Nutty Professor?
That's the Nutty Professor. This is the one with Fred McMurray.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And the one about Flubber.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, I snuck into the balcony, and I sat there watching this, and I was wondering what all this fuss was about. And then about a year later, a friend of mine took me to see Wild in the Country with Elvis Presley and Tuesday Weld. And I sat there, and I realized, aha, this is why they don't want me to go. Here's the problem.
And what effect did that have on you, seeing that?
Well, I had developed a mad crush on Tuesday Weld.
And did that make you feel bad?
No, it made me want to see more movies.
Yeah, so what made you so passionate about movies?
Well, you know, it was a very luxurious forbidden fruit. I mean, not only could you be a rebel and do something that upset your elders, but you could also wear the mantle of respectability while you were doing it. It was like having your cake and eating it. It was a rare opportunity, you know, to be a rebel without, you know, having to do things like break into cars.
Paul Schrader recorded in 1988. He wrote the screenplay for Taxi Driver. A new 20th anniversary print has just been released. Schrader shares screenwriting credit for the new film, City Hall. This is Fresh Air.